there'd be no hope. But in Jesus Christ, I am more in Him. Praise the Lord. In our discussion in our elements class, let me just advocate for it, okay? When you get involved, somebody say get involved. When you get involved in the things in the kingdom of God, it will strengthen you in your spirit. Amen. Our elements class is teaching. It would be a shame if someone came to our service Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, and somebody asked you, well, what does that church believe? And you said, I don't know. We want you to know what the Bible has to say. And therefore, we have classes and teach what the Bible says. Amen. You'll find out why it's important to come to church, why it's important to love the Lord, to worship and pray, why it's important to be faithful with your time and your finances and your walk with God. You're going to find out it's important to fellowship. You're going to find out that it's important to be involved in the things in the kingdom of God. Go to Encounter Service, go to Winter Fire, go to youth camp and junior camp, and go to the things, go to Girls for God, and on the list will go. But when you get involved in the things in the kingdom of God, it will strengthen your walk with Jesus. Amen. Can anybody say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Pastor Dyke is going to come deliver the word. Welcome him, would you?
Thank you, Jesus. I appreciate Pastor Greeley, his leadership, his guidance over all these years has blessed me immensely. Amen. Hallelujah. If you could stand with me, if you are physically able to stand, please stand with me for the reading of one verse of Scripture. Praise the Lord. And that's going to be in Luke chapter 10. Verse 19, while you turn there, I was last week, I know some people reached out, hey, are you okay? I missed you. My brother-in-law, Nathan Greeley, the pastor of Heritage United Pentecostal Church, had asked me to come and help him last week. So I went there and preached there. And even that, I mean, that church is so good to us. They were actually the original mother church of our church. And so we share a close tie with them. Of course, their pastor's our family. And so, we went there, we preached, and, Elizabeth went with me, and, preached, and a man came up to the left side, and his name is Matt. And Matt came up and he was really seeking God, and there was one person praying with him, and I went over and prayed, and Matt got so close to receiving the Holy Ghost. And so I challenged him in a good way. I said, do you do devotions? He said, yeah, I do. I do daily devotions. And, he said, yes. And I said, well, why don't you start looking at those verses in Scripture that talk about receiving the Holy Ghost? And instead of reading it for as if it's talking to someone else, read it like it's talking to you, because those promises belong to you. He says, I'll do that. I said, okay, Brother Matt. I said, next time I see you, I want to rejoice with you, because I believe you're going to have the Holy Ghost next time I see you. I saw Brother Matt the next time on Thursday night at Encounter. And would you know it, I tapped Brother Fred on the shoulder and said, Brother Fred, this guy needs the Holy Ghost. Come on and pray with me for the Holy for him to receive the Holy Ghost. So I went up and asked him, I said, have you received the Holy Ghost? He said, I got it last night. He said, I don't know. It was just everything that led up to that day. It was just all right. And when I got in here, I just let go and let God, and God filled me with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. It's real. It's real. Hallelujah. I know it's real. This Pentecostal fire. I know it's real. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's go to the Word of God. Luke chapter 10 verse 19. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I ask you right now, bless this service, God. Bless the preaching of your word, Lord God. Bless the receiving of your words. Write your word on our heart today, Lord Jesus. It's anointed and it will accomplish the purpose for which you send it, Lord God. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for sending it into our hearts today. Let us respond, oh God, accordingly. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Jesus had just sent the 70 followers. If you back up to the beginning of that chapter, he'd sent 70 and he'd appointed them and sent them out two by two. And they just come back with a report. Listen to what they reported. It's actually in verse 17. It says, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. See, if you go back a little bit in the book of Luke, they had trouble casting out the devils out of this little boy. And Jesus said, this type cometh out not but by prayer. Somebody say prayer.
Prayer.
Tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, be here for prayer. Amen. And fasting. And so he cast them out and they said, wow, this thing is impossible to do. And he said, not with God. With God, all things are possible. Amen. So when they came back, there was a context that they were having trouble casting out devils. So they came back with joy and said, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. It was through his name, not their own, that Jesus gave them power. See, they had it wrong. They were working on their own flesh. They were working on their own ability. But he had equipped them with the name in their calling and in their appointing and in their sending. And he mentioned in that opening verse, in verse 19, he mentioned two powers. And they're actually two different Greek words. So understandably, many will miss this. He said, behold, I give you power. I give unto you power. That's the first one. Jesus did not tell them that the power was in trying harder or doing more things or in their own ability, because it didn't come up out of the 70. It came out of the hand of Jesus. And then the second one, over all the power, you see the verse, over all the power of the enemy. That second power, yes, the enemy has power. The enemy has power. Jesus said it right here. And I'm not going to stand behind the pulpit and tell you that the thing that is wearing out your family and the thing that is attacking your home and the thing that's getting to you on the job, that it's just nothing. It's imaginary. You're imagining things. No, I'm not going to say that. We're not making up the struggles, or we're not making up Satan's attacks. They're real. Our Bible says the word power both times. But remember, Luke did not write in English. He wrote in Greek. Amen. And the language he wrote it, those are two entirely different words in Greek. See, the first word, power, is exousia in Greek. And the second word, power, is dunamos in Greek. Those are two entirely different words. The word for the enemy's power is the same one that we get dynamite or dynamo from. It means force or raw ability, demonstrative, and in this context, chaotic power or destructive power. Isn't that just like the enemy, that as soon as you start following God and as soon as you start obeying his word and as soon as you get the Holy Ghost, he shows up with destructive, chaotic power as if all hell broke loose. It's real. It's real. Amen. But the word that the Lord gave you is exousia. It does not mean force at all. Because it's not a competition. It's not a power competition or a power struggle. That word means authority. Somebody say authority. Authority, in other words, it's the right to act on behalf of somebody higher than you. That's the basic definition of authority. And in our case, we're not acting on somebody that has physical or human or even organizational power. We're reacting to the one who has all power. We are acting on behalf of that. Amen. But before you think that the devil can do whatever he pleases, you need to remember the whole thing. Jesus said, you have power over the devil's power. And that's my title this morning. Power over power. When you read that in English, you might be tempted to think that because it's the same word, that the power is somehow equal. And I hope before we get out of here today that you have no questions about that. Amen. That you know that there's no God like our God. There's no king like our king. There's no Lord like our Lord. See, he's above all. Amen. He's before all things. No one can match his power. No one can compare. His power is greater. Amen. And greater is not even an adequate word to say it. Amen. He said, I give unto you power. Not one of those 70 had worked it up or had earned it or had the right qualifications for it. The only qualification that they had was that Jesus had called them, he had appointed them, and he had sent them. Amen? I had first learned about power dynamics in the Navy. And see, I got the chance to serve aboard the USS Louisville, and I had to stand some watches. Brother Andre, you ever stand watch? See, I stood this watch called Petty Officer of the Deck. Petty Officer of the Deck. And so my job was to stand on the brow of the ship and to watch the gangplank. And the gangplank is the metal bridge, in this case, that connects the pier to the ship. All right. So I'm watching the gangplank. And as petty officer of the deck, every man that stepped up to that brow stopped in front of me and saluted me and said the same words, request permission to come aboard. And I gave them one of two answers. I either said permission granted, or I said permission denied. All right. Are we following me? This is a simple watch, but it's an important watch. It makes sure that no enemy force comes aboard the ship or nothing destructive happens. It's an important thing that has to be there. Now, I want you to understand what I'm telling you. There were many, many times, especially at first, that there were officers and chiefs and pretty much everybody else on that ship outranked me. The men that came up to the brow had more stripes on their shoulder, more experience than I do, more combat experience, everything. And every single one of them, without exception, stopped and saluted me and asked me that question. There was a day even that the captain of the ship came up to the brow and I was standing the watch. And guess what he asked me? Permission to come aboard. He saluted me and he asked me permission to come aboard. His own vessel, get it? His name, I'm not making this up, was Captain David Kirk. Some of you will get that. Some of you are like, what are you talking about? And I'm not going to explain it. You can ask me later. See, the ship belonged to him. And he stopped and he asked. And that's how much that watch meant. Now, would I have turned down the captain of the ship that I served aboard? No, not a chance. Not a chance. But I will tell you somebody that I did turn away. See, late at night, one night, a sailor came back to the ship and he had been drinking and he had liquor on his breath and he was stumbling down the pier and I saw it. And he stepped up to the ship and he stepped up to the gangway and he said, permission to come aboard. And I said, you guessed it, permission denied. And he stayed on the pier. He didn't question it. And he was upset, of course, but he had to stay there. And he didn't stay there because of anything in me. He stayed there because that the United States Navy had authorized me to stand on that brow and protect that ship. This ship is yours to protect from this time to this time. And so you have the discretion, you have the authority to say permission denied if you perceive a threat. Are we following me this morning? See, the authority was never from the watchstander. Because if it was, that watchstander could easily be overwhelmed. It was always in the one who authorized him. And that's exactly why some people in the church have a devil problem that they don't have to have. See, you could be standing on the brow of your own life, letting things come aboard that God gave you every right to stop. Amen? Not because you don't have the power, but because you've never once believed that the power was actually yours. Someone needs to say this with me. In the name of Jesus, I am authorized to tell Satan, permission denied. Let's say it again. In the name of Jesus, I am authorized to tell Satan, permission denied. See, that sailor could have easily come on the ship and pushed me over the side of the pier and pushed me down with raw force or ability. And he thought he was big enough at the time to do it. What he did not have was the authority. And I did. And the authority is what settled it, not the force. The authority is what settled it, not the force. See, the enemy has limited power. And you have God's unlimited power. So it's not a contest. But power's not the question. It's whether or not you have the authority that is the question. And you have the authority over the power of Satan. See, Satan would like you to think a few things about him. Satan would like you to think that he knows everything. Satan would like you to think that he's everywhere. Satan would like you to think that he has power over your power. But he's not God. See, God is omniscient. He knows all things. God is omnipotent. He has all power. God is omnipresent. He's everywhere at once. And Satan is not. Satan's not God. Listen, if I told you what's the opposite of light, what would you say? What's the opposite of cold? What's the opposite of God? Wrong. Wrong. The opposite of God is not devil. The opposite of God is nothing. There's nothing that has his power. There's nothing that has his omniscience. There's nothing that has his strength. There's no one that can compare to him. You understand? I'm sorry for being harsh there, but it's true. So many people put God and the devil at opposite ends of a power spectrum. And the devil is a created being. God is the creator. Amen? Praise the Lord. See, you have a better name, and that name authorizes you. Amen. That name gives you the authority over Satan. See, Israel had the same problem at one time. And this problem went on for 40 days. Every morning and every evening, a giant walked into the valley of Elah and said whatever he wanted. And the armies of the living God heard it and did nothing. Israel was not a nation without a word of promise. On the contrary, the promises of God were theirs because long before there was a giant, God said something over them. He spoke something over them. Many promises and many times God spoke over their entire nation. Amen. And here's a promise that God spoke in Leviticus chapter 26, verse 8. It says in Leviticus 26, 8. Leviticus chapter 26, verse 8. Yes. And five of you shall chase 100. And 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight. And your enemies shall fall before you by the sword. This is the promise of God. 5 will chase 100. That's 20 to 1. And it only gets better the more of you there are. See, God handed them a covenant force multiplier that made no natural sense. And they carried it into that valley every morning and every evening. The problem was, is they never believed it. And there stood Saul, the king of Israel, head and shoulders above every other man, wearing the armor of a king and sitting on a throne that God himself gave him. All things that should have reminded Saul of the promises of God. And what did Saul do? He never once went out into that valley. See, that problem could have been resolved, Pastor, the first day. That problem could have been resolved that first evening. That problem could have been resolved day 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6, but they were at the 40th day. See, Saul had the height, he had the armor, and he had the position, but he did not have 1 ounce of authority in that valley. Because authority is not the same thing as rank. Then a boy shows up, a worshiper, amen. Somebody who was on the backside of the hills tending sheep, and his dad called him one day, amen, and said, take these snacks to your brothers. And he hears the giant open his mouth one time. And before the day was over, he's standing before Saul, refusing the king's armor and picking up stones out of a brook. And when he came down that hill, what David said was not a threat. And it was not a boast. He didn't get out there and puff out his chest and say, I'm gonna defeat you with my own strength and I have a better arsenal than you. I have a better weapon. I have better ability. I have sharper aim. David didn't say any of those things. Amen. But he carried a name. And that name had all the power of God's promise attached to it. It's in 1 Samuel chapter 17 verse 45. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. Amen. Goliath had brought his power. He had. He brought his ability. He'd been trained up as a child. He brought his height. He brought his armor. He brought his shield. He brought his spear. He brought his sword. He had brought his power. And every item was real. And it looked bigger than anything David owned. And David looks at it and says, you brought equipment and I brought a name. You brought your power, giant, but I have the power of the name. Amen. That's power over all the power of the enemy. Listen, that giant sure sounded big and bad, didn't he? But listen to the word that David uses. He didn't say threat. He didn't say you've done damage. He said, whom thou hast defied. See, for 40 days, Saul and the armies of Israel had been believing that Goliath was able to demonstrate those threats. And then this boy walks up and he calls it mere defiance. You're just like a kid that isn't being obedient. You're just like a dog that isn't listening. You're just like David actually didn't have to match his strength. All he had to do was claim and believe his authority in the name of the Lord. They were looking at the height of the giant. David was listening to the God that Goliath was talking bad about. And David was looking to the hills from whence cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord. And David remembered a little song he wrote. That song goes, let God arise and his enemies be scattered. Amen. Let them melt like wax before a furnace. Amen. Let God arise and let his enemies be scattered. That song came from the Holy Ghost. That song came from the promises of God. And somebody needs to remember in the middle of your struggle, in the middle of your battle, in the middle of the day that you walk through, amen, that you have the promises of God. You have the authority of the name. You have the Holy Ghost, amen. See, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Amen. He didn't come down to the valley with a better arsenal or physical weapons or bigger muscles. He came down with a better name and a better promise. Hallelujah. So let me ask you, in total kindness and in love, because listen, I've been there. I've been through things. Amen. Amen. There's things going on in our life right now. Amen. And I have to remind myself every day. What have you been looking at? What have you been calling a powerful problem in your house that is actually covered by a more powerful covenant? What have you been accommodating, putting up with, working around, losing sleep over? When God already put something in your hand that settles it right now. Think about that. What have you been let bothering you? What have you been let getting to you? The name David came in, the God of the armies of Israel, was not going to stay hidden in mystery forever. When David said the name of the Lord of hosts, Lord is in all capitals in my Bible, in the King James Version. I don't know why it's not in all capitals up there, but that's all right. It's in all caps, and that is Jehovah, and in this case, Jehovah of armies. That's the name that answered a giant, and there came a day when Jehovah put on flesh and walked the same dirt, amen, that David walked on. And he came in a name that told us what he was going to do. See, Matthew chapter 1 verse 21 says, And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. The name Jesus means Jehovah, our salvation. Not a second God, not a second name, but the same God revealing the only name that has the power to save, and that name is Jesus. Amen. Somebody raise your hands and say, thank you, Jesus. He has the power to save. Jesus has the power to heal. Jesus has the power to deliver. Jesus has the power to set the captives free. It's in the name of Jesus. It's all in the name. Jehovah of armies answered a giant. Jesus, our salvation, answered sin. And he stood on that mountain in Galilee with 11 men in front of him. And he said this in Matthew 28, 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. All of it, all of it. Not some of it, not most of it, not sometimes, but all authority in heaven and in earth, concentrated in one place, in the man Christ Jesus, the Lord our Savior, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, amen. The Lamb slain from the foundation of the worlds, the great I am, the everlasting Father, amen. The Prince of Peace, all in the name of Jesus, amen. And there's no other name, no other name, and there's no other man that sentence is true about. And before he gave us the power, he paid for it by laying down his life. Colossians chapter 2, verse 9 and 10 says, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Jumping down to verse 14, he shows us how he did it. It says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Amen. What a God. Hallelujah. The head of all principality and power. Amen. Spoiled all the principalities and powers. The handwriting against you was nailed to a cross. And the blood that ran down the tree is the reason that there's nothing left with legal claim over your life. And while he hung on that tree, looking defeated, blood running down his head. Amen. Nails in his hands and feet. He was spoiling principalities and powers and making an open show of them. And Paul says he triumphed over them in it. In the cross, he triumphed. In the dying, he triumphed. In the beatings, he triumphed. In the mockings, he triumphed. Amen. In the ridicule, he triumphed. In the shame, he triumphed. In everything that he did. See, Satan thought it was an arm wrestling match. And he was winning. He got him down there to the court and had a mock trial. He got them to spit on him. He got them to ridicule him. He got them to mock him. All the force that he put into it. And he thought that he had defeated the Lord of glory. Amen. But when Jesus came up out of that grave, amen, when he resurrected from the dead, amen, I could just hear Satan just stammering and fearful. I could just see hell trembling, amen. I could just see when Jesus stepped up and said, all hail, and they came and worshiped him. Amen. Satan said, who's this? What do we do? Oh no! I've lost. Satan lost all hope that day. So that we could have all the hope in Jesus. Amen. Every ounce of authority you have was purchased at Calvary with his own blood. And when Peter stood at the temple gate with no money and no title and nothing in that the world respected, see, he was just a fisherman. He reached for that name in Acts chapter 3, verse 6. The lame man was there by the gate, beautiful. And he'd been there for all the days of his life. Everybody was used to seeing him. But that day, something was different. Acts chapter 3, verse 6 says, "Then Peter said, 'Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk.'" Hallelujah. See, David walked down into that valley with the name of Jehovah of armies. Amen. But Peter stood there, an ignorant fisherman, and said the name of the Lord Jesus, the name above every other name, the name that causes demons to tremble, the names that can heal the sick, the name that can raise the dead. Amen. See, Jesus is our everything. Peter had stood at that gate and said the name of Jehovah of our salvation. And that by then, the price had already been paid. So Peter didn't need silver or gold. So the name Peter carried had all the power of Calvary in it. That name is Jesus. He has all power. And he gave you all authority over all the power of the enemy. And it all comes back to one thing. And that is your calling, your appointment, your sending. Because your purpose is not something that you picked out yourself. Look, ambition is what you want. Purpose is what he wanted all along when he made you. The plan that he has for you is way greater than your simple plans and your simple ambition. Amen. A calling is not a feeling. A calling is divine permission to act. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 says it like this. And I'm talking to you today. It says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." That's to me. That's to you if you got the Holy Ghost. Amen. Somebody stand on your feet and love the Lord this morning. Hallelujah. Say, "I'm chosen. I'm royal. I'm holy." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Every bit of it, every bit of it, listen, hangs on that last phrase. You can remain standing. That last phrase, "who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Because you're none of those things. You're not chosen. You're not royal. You're not holy if you haven't come out of darkness. Amen. He calls you out of darkness so that you can fulfill that purpose. Notice he didn't say a qualified generation, a talented people, a rich nation. He didn't say that stuff. There's an old saying that goes, "God does not call the qualified. He qualifies the called." And that's a pattern Sister Greeley was talking about through the whole Bible. Moses couldn't speak. Gideon was the least in his father's house. David was too young. And Peter was a fisherman with a temper. Not one of them was ready. And every one of them was called. And if you look at the pattern, every one of them did the same thing. They obeyed the voice of God. He has qualified you and given you authority the day you were born again. The day you received the Holy Ghost and were baptized in the name of Jesus, you are qualified. You have the authority. And I know some of you are tired. I'm tired. I've just started this new job. I've been getting up so early. I'm tired. Amen. But we're doing all the right things. Amen. We feel like we have to. And there's a way to do those same things with rest and with joy. Amen. See, the difference is whether you're carrying out a duty or whether you're walking in a calling. But you can't stand in authority that you're not sure belongs to you. And that's why I'm going to open this altar here in a moment. There are people in this house who've never come out of darkness. You've been near the light. You've been sitting with the glow of the light hitting you. You've been sitting on the edge of the light. And some of you have been sitting basking in the light. But you've never stepped out of the darkness of sin. And you need to do it today. You need to do it right now in Jesus' name. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. And this brings all of us in common. Every single one of us is called. Say, I'm called.
I am called.
Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Every single one of us is called to repent, to turn away from sin, walk away from it. Amen. And mean it this time. Every single one of us is called to be baptized in the holy name of Jesus Christ, because that's the name that David came down the hill with. That's the name that Peter stood at the gate with when he had nothing else. And the name that you go down in is in the water. Amen. Then you receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. That precious gift. If anybody's ever received the gift of the Holy Ghost, thank the Lord for it. Amen. Praise God, praise God. I want you to understand what that gift is. Because we talk about the Holy Ghost like it's an experience you have on a Sunday afternoon or on a Friday night. But it's not just an experience. The Holy Ghost is the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ in you, bringing you to life. Colossians 1:27 says, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of his mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen. Christ in you. Not Christ near you, not Christ around you, not Christ with his hand on your shoulder, not Christ just sending you out into the battle alone, but Christ in you. The same one who said all power is given to me in heaven and in earth does not hand you a certificate and send you out on your own. He comes to live on the inside of you. Everywhere you walk, every breath you breathe, everything you do, it's all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. And that's where that authority comes from. I hope you're convinced today. That's why it doesn't matter if you feel qualified. It doesn't matter if you feel tired. It doesn't matter if you're not enough. That's a feeling. Feelings are not always in alignment with reality. Whatever God put in front of you, whatever plan he has for you, whatever path that he tells you to walk down, he's going with you. That's why Philippians chapter 4:13, one of my favorite verses in the whole Bible, says this, Read it with me. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Do you really believe that? All things through Christ? Not through your education. Not through your wealth. Not through whatever you think you're naturally good at. But through Christ living in you right now, if you've received His Spirit. So whatever God's laid in front of you, however crazy or outrageous it looks, and however far past your ability it runs, you're not at being asked to accomplish it alone. You're being asked to let Him accomplish it through you. Through you. You're not borrowing authority. You're carrying His authority in you and with you. He said, going back all the way to the beginning here, behold, I give unto you power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. That's not the promise of a pastor. That's not the promise of a dad or a mom or a boss. I didn't make that promise, and I cannot keep that promise for you. God made it. And He's never broken a promise. Not ever one time. But He's calling you this morning. And He's ready to give you this power. He's ready to give you this gift this morning. So I want you to come. Come while He's still speaking to your heart right now. Come because there's a day when it will not be this easy to move. Amen. Come if you've never repented and turned loose of sin this morning. Come if you've never been buried with Him in the name of Jesus. Come if you've never received the gift of the Holy Ghost, and let Him fill you up until it's not you doing it anymore, but it's you yielding to Him doing the work in your life. Amen. You don't have to wait for somebody else to walk down the aisle with you. Hey, nobody walked down with David. He's been calling you. He's been calling you for a long time. He's been calling you every day of your life. Somebody answer Him today. Somebody answer Him. I want to answer your call today, God. That old song says, nothing in my hands I bring, but simply to thy cross I cling. Nothing, I have nothing, I have nothing, I have nothing to give. God, You are my everything. God, I surrender it to You today. Oh, somebody surrender to the Lord. Answer the call. Answer the call. Oh, God, to You be the glory, Jesus. Lord, right now, over this people, Lord Jesus, I want to speak faith right now, God. You see the challenges. You see the power that the enemy wields against us. You see all of the things that we go through. You see the situation I'm in right now, God. But Lord, You have all authority over it. And I want to walk in that authority. Hallelujah. Oh, no matter how overwhelming it looks, no matter how bad it gets, it's always darkest before the dawn. And I'm going to walk into a new day with the name of the Lord. I'm going to walk into a new day with new authority, new power, new mercy. Amen. New grace, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. New hope, Lord God. Today, Lord Jesus, is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Perform it, God, today, even upon us, Lord Jesus. And I say it all in the name that is above every name, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Call out to the Lord this morning.